Good evening, Eagle Country, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time. 30 minutes nonstop sports conversation here on your hometown radio station. It is presented by OrthoSensi, Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries, located right here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. You can look them up online at orthosensi.com, and we can do you one better, because tonight our featured guest is going to be Dr. Brian Whistle with OrthoSensi. He's going over the game plan right now, but we'll have him with you here in just a moment. We're excited to have Dr. Whistle on the program tonight. We're also going to be running down our Crunch Time headlines this evening. Certainly going to be talking about the IHSAA wrestling sectional that took place at South Dearborn over the weekend. We got some football news to pass along. Yes, on the high school front, we're going to talk a little Nick Gepper, Drew Christman, and a girls basketball sectional upcoming as well. But without further ado, if Dr. Whistle is ready to go here on this Monday evening, we will get you all set to there. All right. Mic number three it is. Dr. Whistle, nice to meet you.
You too. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, and we certainly appreciate OrthoSensi's sponsorship for this show so that we can get out here every Monday night and highlight our local athletes. It's a lot of fun for me, but we want to talk about OrthoSensi and what you do at OrthoSensi as well, and then we'll just kind of branch off from there. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Dr. Whistle.
Yeah, so I'm out here in Lawrenceburg full-time. I've been with OrthoSensi for about 2 years. I'm a west side of Cincinnati native, born and raised, and didn't go too far for my training. Did medical school at University of Cincinnati, did undergrad at University of Cincinnati, went all of 100 miles west to IU to do a five-year orthopedic surgery residency, and then finally escaped a little bit and went down to New Orleans for a year for a sports medicine fellowship, and spent some time down there working with the Saints and working with the Pelicans, as well as some of the local sports teams.
Well, fantastic. I was going to ask the big important question is where your sports allegiances lied, going to UC, IU, things like that. Where is your sports allegiance at?
I pick up a little bit of everywhere I've been. So I'll root for UC. I actually always root for Xavier. It's always more fun when the local sports teams are good. And so I do have to admit, when I went down to New Orleans, I kind of jumped ship and became a Saints fan. So,
well, not too many people going to blame you for that. The Saints have been a lot better than the local team here as of late. But specific to what you do at OrthoSensi, if someone comes to see you, what are they coming to see you for?
Yeah, so out here, we take care of basically all complaints in the community. And so while I've had sports medicine sort of specialty training, I see a little bit of everything. And so you see a lot of the chronic knee pain, chronic hip pain, chronic shoulder pain. And then we still see a fair amount of fractures at ski season. And so that's been keeping us pretty busy here lately. But it's myself and Dr. Auer and then a couple other guys that come out here that really take care of whatever the community needs in terms of orthopedics coverage and musculoskeletal coverage.
Yeah, and I think when we talk about orthopedics and sports medicine, we jump right in and say it's got to be an athlete that's coming in to see you, but you're helping out the everyday Joe as well. If they have an injury, you can work with them too.
Yes, sir.
So that is a great thing, and that kind of branches into the next question is the, or at least the next topic is the relationship with the community. We got St. Elizabeth Dearborn now. We just had Chris Carley in earlier this week to talk about the things going on there. So what kind of relationship do you have with the local hospital?
Yeah, so it's great, and I think the St. Elizabeth partnership will be excellent for the community here. For our group, personally, for OrthoSensi, we've kind of been working with St. Elizabeth for quite some time in Northern Kentucky, and so it's a even more seamless transition for us. But I think they bring the resources and kind of the know-how, and actually just came from the hospital, and we're undergoing a big transition from the computer system there. Mm-hmm. But they've been using one that's a little bit more robust for a while, and we're transitioning to that. And so I think with sort of that muscle, it's going to be great for the community. And of course, they kind of help us take care of everybody that's here and gives us a little bit of that name brand recognition that they've got across the river. So
absolutely. We know they're going to be bringing big time investments to the area. So certainly excited for that. We got more information on our website, EagleCountryOnline.com. Another thing that you're going to find on our website is the new partnership between OrthoSensi and Wellington. This is a pretty big deal for you guys.
It is. It is. It's very exciting. Wellington's been a respected name in sort of the Cincinnati market for quite some time, and we've been sort of their counterpart in Northern Kentucky, and so it kind of made sense, just as St. E's kind of branching out coming here, it made sense for us. They do a good job. They take care of that community. Yeah, they've got a name that's well respected, and so there's always a kind of changing landscape in the orthopedics community, and you got to be a little bit adaptable. And this was part of that. I mean, we, you know, the orthopedics community is only so big, and so you know, the docs talk and they know one another, and so you know, you come find people that are like minded and have a similar philosophy in taking care of patients, and when it's a good fit, it's a great thing, and so that allows us to become sort of the largest sort of privately owned orthopedics practice in the Cincinnati area. So
that's what I was going to kind of lead into, is just casting a wider net over the tri-state area and being able to help as many people as possible. Yes. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah. I mean, they've got, you know, in Cincinnati, they've got subspecialists and kind of a big footprint there. And we've similarly, we've got, you know, somebody for every specialty in Northern Kentucky. And so, so whether it's an insurance issue, whether it's a, you know, where the patient lives type of issue, it's great to have, you know, new options that you can kind of refer them to, or some, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of a patient lives one place and works someplace. And if you're talking about getting them into therapy, it's a little bit easier if, you know, it's someplace they can hit on their way to or from work. And so it just expands options, and that's going to be great for patients, which is kind of the name of the game.
We're talking to Dr. Brian Whistle from OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. And, of course, this is a show dedicated to the high school athlete. And unfortunately, from time to time, we have some serious injuries in high school sports. So if somebody does come along and unfortunately does get injured, what is the best way to reach out to you guys to, you know, get themselves fixed up?
Yeah, absolutely. And so we cover a couple of the local high schools here, notably we've got Switz County and we've got Milan are the two big ones as far as football teams go. And so we've got trainers that are there as well. And we cover the games, every home game, mostly Friday nights. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, if something happens during the game when we're there, that's kind of easy enough. You talk to the parents and get them plugged in. Otherwise, I've got a close relationship with the trainers at those schools. I mean, I'll, you know, all hours of the day, they can message me and say, hey, you know, doc, I got a kid that, you know, tweak their knee or something else, and they can, you know, I'll basically have them call my scheduler directly to get them in. But otherwise, if they just call the office, we're always happy to take care of the athletes here. And usually, you know, if they mention, hey, we're a local high school athlete, we understand that it's important to try to minimize downtime. And so we'll get you in as quickly as we possibly can, usually within a day or two. And, you know, and that's part of dealing with the athletes. As you know, a day missed or a week missed to them feels like an eternity. So
absolutely. And I don't want to focus on this too much, but obviously we do live in this COVID-19 era. So how has that made things challenging, or has it been kind of same old for OrthoCincy?
It's, you know, it's been challenging just like it has for everybody else. I mean, you know, you have the precautions, and, you know, it's a little bit interesting for the kids in terms of some of the sports have slowed down a little bit. I know it seems like here lately they're kind of picking back up and trying to get back to some sense of normal. Mm-hmm. But particularly last year, some of the sports were canceled. And so it's a little bit hard when the kids have been off and they haven't been doing the conditioning, and all of a sudden you're trying to ramp up and go from 0 to 60 and try to jump right back in. I think everybody's getting a little bit stir crazy. And so one of the things that kind of falls to the wayside is conditioning and getting yourself back into game shape.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, and so that's been part of it, as you see, you know, kind of the lumps and bumps from maybe not being quite in game shape yet.
For sure. And you guys located in Lawrenceburg, where exactly can people find you?
Yes. So our office is right up the hill. We're actually on Wilson Creek, 605 Wilson Creek. It's right across from the emergency department entrance at St. Elizabeth Dearborn.
Easy enough to find, and that's my neck of the woods. I grew up not too far from there, so easy to find our friends here at OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Whistle, anything else that you want to add about OrthoCincy, what you guys do, and you know how you can take care of the community?
Yeah, I'd say we're excited to be here. We've been here for about 2 years now, and we really pride ourselves on serving the community. We understand that people in Southeast Indiana are proud of their community. They like to keep things local here. And so we, you know, we've got 5 days a week, we've got a presence in the office here. And so we can always, that allows us to get somebody in pretty quickly. If you call and something's hurting, we try to get you in that same week. And more importantly, we do our surgeries at the hospital. And so we're not asking you to travel to us. We, you know, we can get your scanner here. We can get you therapy here. We can do the surgery here. And so,
and I think that's what people are looking for, is a service right at home, and you provide it there at OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. And again, we certainly appreciate your sponsorship for Crunch Time. You guys have been awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. That is Dr. Brian Whistle with OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Again, located 605 Wilson Creek Road in Lawrenceburg, and you can visit them online at OrthoCincy.com. That's Cincy with a Y. We got to pose for a photo opportunity here real quick. The good radio. As crunch time rolls on here, thanks again, guys, so much. I appreciate you stopping by, and we will certainly do it again here in the short term. Now we're going to focus on the local high school athletes, and we want to start with the IHSAA sectional, wrestling sectional at South Dearborn. This was quite the event over the weekend. If anybody has been following along with high school wrestling so far here in the 2020-2021 season, East Central has been dominating the wrestling scene, undefeated on the season. So no surprise that they were the champions at the sectional. 302 points. It was a dominating win. South Dearborn was next with 153. Lawrenceburg finishing in third with 138. So as you imagine, many East Central kids going to be moving on in their individual weight classes. Starts with Carson Whitehead at 113 pounds. He was the individual champion at the sectional. Dylan Lingrich at 120. Blake Wolf at 126. Ben Wolf at 152, David Nash at 160, Briar Hall at 170, Samuel Ringer at 182, Ryan Bavard at 195, and Cole Veal at 220 pounds. All individual winners at the wrestling sectional at South Dearborn. And if you want to dissect this EC team a little bit further, I think everything kind of starts with Briar Hall. He's the engine that makes him go at 170 pounds. He's undefeated this season, ranked number one in that weight class. Going to be one of the odds-on favorites to make it up to Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis and compete for a state championship. He was the runner-up last year, so I know he's got a bad taste in his mouth, wants to get back to that state level, and this time come away with the win. He would be the first local state champion since Mason Paris won his third consecutive just a few years ago. Certainly wrestling is big here in Southeast Indiana, and it has produced a lot of great wrestlers. Also, Cole Veal, highly ranked at 220. He's looking to make a run to the state. And Blake Wolf at 126. I think you got to look out for him as well. But certainly all of these Trojan wrestlers are going to have a great opportunity to move on past a regional level, get into the semi-state and into the state as well. So as these wrestling competitions go here in the early stages, the top four wrestlers from each individual bracket are going to advance on to the next round. And the regional is going to be upcoming, and there are several local wrestlers that are going to be moving on to that regional round, and I'm going to do my best to list off. Well, actually, first, let me backtrack for a second, because we got to announce some of the other winners at the sectional. Congratulations to Evan Seal at 132 out of Franklin County, Corbin Walston at 138 from Lawrenceburg, and at 145, Eli Otto was the champion at 145 from South Dearborn. So those individuals going on to the regional, as are many others. At 106, Caleb Przanski from Milan moving on. At 113, you got Nicholas Tacoma from Batesville and Javier Payne from Lawrenceburg going to compete at the regional. Trent Burdett from Milan and Seth Markle at 120. Isaiah Otto, the brother of Eli, going to advance on at 126. You got three locals at 132 that finished second, third, and fourth. Tanner Bush from East Central, Ashton Myers from Milan, and Tyler Schaefer from Batesville. At 138, Ryder Searcy from East Central, and Adam Crouch from Franklin County. Three individuals from 145 that didn't win. Moving on, Charlie Eusen from East Central, Mason Neely, Batesville, and Brock Bowman from Franklin County. Josh Mobley and Dominic Tribble, Batesville and Lawrenceburg, moving on at 152. Blake Bartley at 160, going on to the regional. Cooper Barker of South Dearborn, Hayden Neville, Franklin County, they advanced in the 170 bracket to the regional. Jacob Weigel from Batesville, Kenneth McGill from South Dearborn, they're moving on at 182. At 195, Noah Rolette was the runner-up from Lawrenceburg. He'll move on, so will Chase Hamilton of Batesville. At 220, Chase Emmert of South Dearborn, Micah Foster of Lawrenceburg will go on to the regional, and then Alex Kemper from South Dearborn, Austin Cox from East Central, and Clayton Bolzer from Franklin County are moving on in the heavyweight division at 285. So, again, I didn't count how many names are going on to the regional, but it's going to be upwards of 30 from kids here in Southeast Indiana, so we certainly congratulate all those young men for not only the hard work they put in this year, but for having the results on the mat and advancing to the regional You can see more over at EagleCountryOnline.com. This is Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Dr. Rob Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Tremba, conveniently located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need. You can visit them online at OrthoSensi.com. Next topic on the Crunch Time headlines tonight. Got to say congratulations to a few young men that played football and starred on the football field here in Eagle Country. South Dearborn's Dalton and Hunter Hatfield. Dalton, a defensive end, also did some kicking there. And then Hunter played some wide receiver, tight end. Lawrenceburg's Ethan Paris and Braden York, both linemen, offense and defense. And Milan's Chandler Rutherford, an offensive and a defensive lineman from Milan. All were named to the Indiana Football Coaches Association Region 10 All-Star Team. So congratulations to those five young men. And, of course, the IFCA was having a little trouble with their website earlier today. So if there's more names to come on that list, we will certainly get that to you this week. But as far as we know, those five are on that Region 10 All-Star Team, and well-deserved for each and every one of those individuals. We had the pleasure of calling a lot of the games for South Dearborn, Lawrenceburg, and Milan, and most of the time those names were standing out. The Hatfields, Ethan Paris, Braden York, Chandler Rutherford, always in on a tackle, making a key block, springing a player for a touchdown, keeping their quarterback protected so they can get the ball down the field. These five guys can definitely go and play college football, and we know that Ethan Paris is going to play football at college. He's already committed to St. Francis. And Braden York announcing today that he is going to be playing his college football at Marion University. So a big congratulations to Braden on his commitment to Marion. Now, Braden played a lot of tight end. He was basically used as an extra blocker for the Lawrenceburg Tigers this year. But he's certainly super athletic, especially for his size. He had six receptions, 63 yards, and two touchdowns. Defensively, 27 tackles and two sacks. And while those statistics might not jump off the page to you, like I said, Braden is super athletic, especially for a big man. You get him out in the open field in a straight line, and he can outrun people. And he is certainly big enough, athletic enough to block on the offensive line. Defensively, he can get after you with a quick twitch, quick step, get in the backfield, create havoc, and plug up those running lanes as well. So I think Marion University just got themselves a good one. And again, a big congratulations to Braden York on his commitment. Sticking with Lawrenceburg Tigers football, I want to give a shout-out to Ashton Craig because, well, he is getting some of the more notable offers that I've seen here in recent memory from kids from Southeast Indiana, notwithstanding Luke Collinsworth, who's going to go play at the University of Cincinnati next year. But Ashton Craig was just a junior, still is a junior. We've got one more year to go there at Lawrenceburg. A three-star recruit, now has nine D1 offers. He picked up two more here recently, one being Tulane and the other being Yale. Yes, you heard that right. Not only is Ashton a phenomenal football player, but getting it done in the classroom as well if Yale is looking at you. So Ball State, Central Michigan, Columbia, Eastern Michigan, Miami of Ohio, Purdue, Toledo, Tulane, and Yale. The nine offers Ashton Craig currently has following his junior football season. So pretty much a good majority of the MAC is looking at him. Big Ten with Purdue, the Ivy League, and the AAC, and with one more year to go, sky's kind of the limit for Ashton. I'm sure he's going to be working towards trying to get that fourth star, and this is according to 24/7 Sports, which is a big recruiting database. But if Ashton can pick up that four star, then you're going to start seeing maybe Cincinnati, Indiana, and so forth and so on. Some of the bigger name schools that have had some recent success at the college football level start knocking on his door. But again, sky's the limit for Ashton Craig. 6'5", 265, probably in that range. A phenomenal football player on the defensive and offensive line. So looking forward to seeing him as a senior. And right now you can watch him play as a basketball player for Coach Cutter's Tigers. Moving on to our next Crunch Time headline, not necessarily a high school story, but we do have a young man from Lawrenceburg that continues to do big things on the ski slopes, and everybody around here's heard of Nick Gepper, and he's been to the Olympics, he's been to the X Games, he's got a ton of medals, he is fantastic, and of course he grew up skiing down the hills here in Lawrenceburg, not too far from the station, but He was really dominant at the X Games a couple years ago. He had won three straight gold medals in the ski slope style, and it had been 6 years since he'd actually won that event until Sunday when Nick Gepper reclaimed gold at the X Games. Really great story there. The only other skier to win the ski slope style three times is Tanner Hall, who was a big name in the skiing world as well. But if you want to read a little bit more and even see Nick's final run from Sunday, we got the link over at EagleCountryOnline.com. So make sure you're checking that out. Also wanted to give a shout out to Drew Chrisman, who is also a Lawrenceburg native, just like Nick Gepper. And Drew plays for my favorite football team, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Unfortunately, he's going to be moving on, and he has aspirations of playing in the NFL. And he's one of the best punters in the nation at Ohio State. He's up there in the ranks. 43.9 yards per punt. That's fifth all time in Buckeye history. He plays 72 career punts inside the 20-yard line. That's third at Ohio State, so you can see how good Drew was there at Ohio State. He wasn't asked to punt a whole bunch over his 4 years there at the school, but Drew, phenomenal talent, and he has been invited to participate at the NFL Combine this year. It's typically held at the Colt Stadium up in Indianapolis, but it'll be a virtual combine this year. Still, Drew said it's a dream come true. He's incredibly honored no matter what it looks like. That's what he said in a tweet on Sunday, and this is really cool for a local kid to have an opportunity to go into the NFL draft, potentially get drafted, and the way he punts, he could have a very lengthy career in the NFL as well. And punter, that's a good position to be in if you're in the NFL, because those guys usually are around for 15 or 20 years. Don't get hit much, and you're still going to make a pretty good living. So I mentioned earlier today, the team down the river, Cincinnati Bengals, Kyle Huber has been a really terrific punter for them for a long, long time. And maybe he's going to stick around for a few more years, but if there was a door to be open, maybe the Bengals going to look for a younger leg to start punting the ball down the field. Hopefully they don't have to punt much coming up with this Joe Burrow offense in the next couple of years. But anyways, it'd be cool to see Drew play for his hometown team. But as mentioned earlier in the day, I think he'd be happy to play for any of the 32 teams in the NFL. So another big congratulations to Drew. Getting invited to the NFL Combine, we'll certainly be tracking his progress. And if he gets drafted, we'll obviously be talking about it here at your hometown radio station. It is Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Learn more about their services at OrthoCincy.com. About 5 minutes left in the program. Want to get to the IHSAA girls basketball sectional and preview some of the games coming up this week. We do plan to bring you a sectional semifinal and championship game this week. We don't know where we'll be yet. Definitely got to find out what's going to happen on Tuesday night. Then we'll decide where we're going on Friday for the semis. And then we're hoping that one of our area teams will be playing for a championship on Saturday night as well. And everything kind of starts with the East Central Lady Trojans. They are ranked number 9 in Class 4A, and they are going to be taking on a very solid Columbus East team on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. EC is going to be the host of this Sectional 14 in Class 4A, and East Central has already defeated Columbus East once this season, a 51-45 win on November 19th. That's an awful long time ago, so I don't know how much stock you can put into a game that was played early in the season, but looking at the Sagarin ratings, East Central 20th in the state, Columbus East 26th, so very evenly matched on paper. East comes in 14-5 on the season. They're 12-2 since they started the season 2-3, and EC beat them in the midst of a three-game losing streak. But this team can score. They're averaging about 62 points per game. Defensively, not as good, allowing about 50 per game, but they have a seven-game winning streak. Certainly a hot team coming into sectional play. Just knocked off Bedford North Lawrence not too long ago, which is one of the top three teams in all of Class 4A. So, if you're looking at it from a Trojans perspective, you know that you have a hot opponent coming in that wants to knock you off and get some revenge from that November 19th game. But for EC, 16-4 on the season. They did lose their last game of the season to Dixie Heights, which is a really good team out of Northern Kentucky. Talking to Coach Kevin Moore prior to that Dixie Heights matchup, he wanted to try to get another game on the schedule, play another tough team as a sectional tune-up. Doesn't look like that came to fruition, so the Trojans will come into the tournament 16-4, coming in off of that loss, but certainly they just won the EIAC championship. They've been one of the better teams in Class 4A all year. They average about 56 points per game, but defensively is where they get it done, only giving up 38 all year. So if EC is going to be successful in this sectional, I think they're going to rely upon their defense more so than their offense to advance through. And well, against common opponents, Columbus East 3-0, East Central 2-1. They've both played Bedford, North Lawrence, Jennings County, and Batesville. EC did lose to Bedford a little bit earlier this season. So on paper, a great matchup on Tuesday night, 6 o'clock in St. Leon. The winner will play number 10 Martinsville, and then you got number 15 Columbus North on the opposite side of the bracket in what might be the toughest sectional in all of the state. In 3A, we got our eye on this one as well, because we got Lawrenceburg in that particular sectional. They're just coming off a big win against Greensburg to finish second in the EIAC. South Dearborn's in there. Greensburg, Batesville. It's basically the all EIAC sectional. Lawrenceburg has drawn Connersville. They'll play them 6 o'clock on Tuesday at Rushville. Lawrenceburg 11-8 under Coach Zane White this season. 6-0 versus sectional opponents after that 45-43 overtime thriller against Greensburg on Saturday. Back and forth matchup. They go into OT. The Tigers outscore the Pirates 6-4 to get the win. Kirsten Cross had 19 points in that game, and she has been an X factor for Lawrenceburg. When she plays well, they are very tough to beat. And talking to Coach Zane White earlier this season, he basically said pretty bluntly, so we just got to try to get her to do that every single night. Easier said than done, but when Cross is on, the Tigers are tough to beat. They were a little shorthanded in this game as well. Kiara Lowe stepped up 12 points, and Lizzie Reeder, who's really starting to come into her own, has been a little bit of a role player coming off the bench, but she can shoot and score the ball, had 8 points in that win over Greensburg. You got Katie Johnson, Kristen Roark, Holly Nippenberg, a lot of good players on this team, and each one of them are capable of scoring double digits on any given night, so I think Lawrence should be the prohibitive favorite against Connersville. They did defeat them 42-26 back in December. Winner will play Batesville in this particular sectional. And we don't want to forget about the other teams in that sectional. Second here as you got Greensburg coming in 11-6. They're 6-1 against sectional opponents. Only lost to Lawrenceburg. And then Rushville actually has the best Sagarin rating out of the seven teams at this sectional. So those three teams look to be the favorite out at the Rushville sectional. Batesville, Connersville, Franklin County, and South Dearborn will look to play spoiler, that is for sure. In 2A, interesting sectional at South Ripley. The host that looked to be the toughest team in this sectional, but there's also some good teams there as well, particularly with Switzerland County and Southwestern. Those are the three that you're kind of looking at in that particular sectional. All have winning records. South Ripley's going to have the home court advantage. They got one of the leading scorers in the ORVC in Rachel Meyer. But you got the Duval twins from Switzerland County, who are certainly tough to handle, can certainly handle the ball and shoot and score. So Switzerland County, South Ripley could be an interesting matchup. You got Southwestern and Milan playing the first game on Tuesday against Southwestern, and then South Ripley will take on North Decatur in game two. And then finally in Class 1A, this is going to be an interesting sectional out at Waldron, because the Jacksonville Lady Eagles 20-3 on the season. They're undefeated against their sectional competition, 7-0, ranked number 2 in Class 1A. They're just a handful of years removed from winning the state championship in Class 1A, so Coach Scott Smith knows what he's doing. He knows how to make a deep run. They basically win the ORVC every year, and they've won the sectional almost every year here in recent memory, and they are on the opposite side of the bracket from Waldron, who is another highly ranked team in this tournament. They're 18-3. They're only lost to sectional opponents is to Jacksonville, so no disrespect to Morristown, Southwestern Shelbyville, Oldenburg Academy, Hauser, and Rising Sun, but Jacksonville and Waldron look like they are on a collision course to compete in the sectional championship on Saturday night. Jacksonville going to get things started on Tuesday against Oldenburg Academy. If they win, they'll take on Morristown. You got Rising Sun with a bye in that first round, so actually, I think Rising Sun plays Hauser, if my memory serves me correct, in the first round on Wednesday night. So A lot of big games coming up this week in the girls sectional action. Of course, like I mentioned, we're going to be calling some of that girls sectional for you on Friday and Saturday. Semifinal on Friday, championship game on Saturday. And once we get some results on Tuesday night, we'll have a better idea of where we are heading out to on Friday. So definitely stay tuned for that. And well, just like that, in the blink of an eye, 30 minutes has gone by and crunch time is coming to an end here on this Monday, February 1st. Tomorrow's Groundhog's Day. I guess we could try it again, but have to ask the boss. I don't think it's going to happen. But anyways, thank you so much for listening in to Crunch Time tonight. Thanks to Dr. Brian Whistle from OrthoSensi for coming on and providing some more information about our friends at OrthoSensi. You can find all the information you need on their website, OrthoSensi.com. Appreciate you listening to Crunch Time. We'll be back again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here on Eagle Country 99.3.